Chapter 29. Planet Sallust. 31 days into Operation Ringbreaker.
Stormtroopers must remain in uniform at all times while in view of the public. It was a simple rule, a basic rule, drilled into every cadet's brain until it became instinct. Vara Nyendi believed in it, knew it was integral to maintaining the public trust. A stormtrooper without a helmet was an individual with her own name and needs and goals. You couldn't trust individuals. A stormtrooper in uniform represented the Empire. That meant something. None of which explained why she'd removed her helmet in the security office of Pinyumba Transport Station 4. It was unlikely she'd been seen, but it was still possible. The black visor stared up at her from the console while she chewed on her ration bar. When her armor's memory was downloaded, she'd probably be caught, her indiscretion flagged, and automatically appended to her record. She was just so tired. Was a 5-minute break and an early lunch too much to ask? For the past 3 weeks, she'd worked 10-hour shifts daily. She'd received no further treatment nor counseling after the horrors she'd experienced aboard the rebel terrorist vessel. Her hearing still came and went in her right ear. She knew other troopers in other worlds had been through far worse, and she didn't complain. Still, she flinched whenever she opened the door to an apartment pod to search for rebel supporters. But if the hunt for the rebels had been the only burden, she could have suffered through it. Since the raid on the warehouse world, the Empire had been demanding longer shifts from the civilian workers as well. This in turn meant more overseers and security teams to enforce standards. New transports arrived almost daily from off-world, while other enforcers were hired locally and rapidly trained. The entire city was tired, and Vara had nowhere to turn for respite. The rebellion was to blame for this as well. The raids were continuing across nearby sectors, and Sallust had to make up the difference where it could. She visited her uncle's cantina one night. She'd been discreet. She only wanted to see how it was functioning in his absence, while he was still awaiting trial or release from the holding pens. If Cobalt Front hadn't decided to bomb factories instead of write letters to the governor, one of the old men had said, maybe we'd have someone to speak up. Cobalt Front never cared about workers' rights, another had argued. The rebellion was behind it from the start. It doesn't matter now, said a third, a man with bandages wrapped around his steam-burnt eyes. Blame doesn't matter. Pray the storm passes and that the harvest is richer after the rain. But the storm hadn't passed. Instead, the rebellion had sent an army to Sallust. Vara hadn't fought during the invasion. She hadn't been at the processing facility or the surface garrisons. And when they'd sent her on patrol at night, assigned to a stormtrooper squad full of off-world veterans who could recognize a blaster's specifications by the sound of its trigger, she'd trembled every time she saw a distant figure on the mountain. She'd nearly shot at a speeder bike piloted by an allied scout. Only her sergeant's angry, snapped order had stopped her. She was willing to fight. She'd go to the facility if she was ordered, shoot at rebels and avenge the colleague she'd already lost. And she was willing to follow the protocols delivered to her at the morning briefing. Instructions for a crackdown in the city, should the citizens of Pinyumba or rebel infiltrators take the opportunity to strike. Door-to-door searches, roundups of subversives and suspected subversives, lockdowns of all housing blocks and workplaces. She knew her duty. She hoped drastic measures wouldn't be necessary, and she was prepared to enact them if they were. But after so many weeks of hunting and seeking and waiting for the next bomb to go off, so many 10-hour shifts that ended with her face down on a coarse pillow and crying, she needed a moment, just a moment, for herself. So she chewed her ration bar slowly and tried not to meet the gaze of the helmet balanced on the security console before her. She hadn't quite finished eating when her comlink blared an emergency signal. She threw the bar and wrapper to the floor, scooped her helmet up and donned it as data cascaded onto the display. There was an emergency on the surface. Stormtrooper teams were being deployed to the streets of Pinyamba and the upper garrisons. All units were expected to be combat ready. She felt a wave of guilt for neglecting her duty and pushed it aside. She was SP-475 of the Imperial 97th Stormtrooper Legion, and she'd been ordered to report to the transport station's upper levels. Were the rebels coming down from the mountain? She wondered. Was the city going to be attacked? 20 other troopers crowded into the cargo lift as it rose to the surface. When she stepped off metal and onto rock, her display flickered as it updated to accommodate the outdoor lighting. She heard wind, and behind the wind, a shrieking, rumbling sound. Behind the rumbling was the sound of blasters, distant and tinny. Her fellow soldiers were looking up, pointing at something in the sky. As she scrambled to her post, she saw a ship plummeting toward the mountain, wrapped in black smoke and fire. It was enormous. It was a rebel vessel. It had to be. When it struck the side of the mountain, the crash sounded like the explosion she'd survived in the spaceport. This time, she was sure all of Pinyamba would suffer.